of John chapter 3. And we're going to begin to read in verse 1 here. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, you ought to underline that in your Bibles. There's no other way you can get to heaven except to be born again. He says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time to the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So Jesus talking to a ruler that came to Jesus by night. I like the fact that it explains to us that Nicodemus comes at night because Nicodemus is concerned about the peer pressure that might be put on him if he's seen talking to Jesus. You know, a lot of times folks won't get saved. They won't go see Jesus. They won't invite Jesus into their life because they're worried about what somebody else says. And Jesus just plainly lets him know, you know, unless you're born again, you're not going to get into heaven. And Nicodemus, of course, is thinking in the natural, and he thinks, you know, can a man be born again like that? And Jesus says, no, it's not that kind of birth. It's a spiritual birth. He said, you've got to be born first of the flesh or the water, and then you're born of the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit is what born again is. It means. And so, you know, when we're looking at this, he's letting him know, you've got to be born again, and you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again. So, what does being born again really, really mean? Well, go with me to Romans chapter 10. Let me show you here how you get born again and what the Bible says about that. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, if you want to jump there with me. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, and even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever, that's every one of us. Anybody that'll call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. When you ask him to save you, he'll do just that. Well, you know, notice here that it says you have to confess him and believe. What am I confessing? What am I believing? Well, what you're doing is you're believing in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? I mean, you're believing that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a human being. Now, understand that he was born of a woman, but born of God. Mary was the incubator, but the seed came from God. So Jesus was basically 100% man, 100% God. There'd never been another like Jesus. But he came here so that he could, as a man, he could redeem us back to God because of what Adam did in the garden. When they messed up, when they disobeyed God, sin came in on mankind. And it's been here ever since. And when Jesus came, what Jesus did, he became the sacrifice of sin. Okay? So what we're believing is that Jesus came here, that he died on the cross, he was placed in the tomb, and on the third day he rose again. That's what we got to believe. Well, what are we confessing? We're confessing that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because of what he did. You see, God made it real easy. A lot of times, folks, they'll procrastinate and I don't know. And they're waiting for some big sign. They're waiting for, you know, lightning or something to flash. I don't know. But they've been told all kinds of things. But the Bible simply says there that you've just got to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and make him Lord of your life. Whosoever will call upon Him shall be saved. Well, yeah, but you just don't know what I've done, Pastor. You don't know about my... It doesn't matter what you've done. We are everyone from the same background, and that's a sinner. Every one of us. You see, here's the thing. When Jesus died on the cross for us and rose again on the third day, we're celebrating that third day today, by the way. This is Resurrection Day. But when He did that, what He did was He became sin for us. He took that to the grave. He literally went to hell and paid the price for you. You can study it out for yourself. It's there. He paid the price for all mankind for sin. But He couldn't stay there because He was innocent. But He was punished for your sin, my sin, all of our sin. But He came out of that grave victorious. He rose again, ascended to the Father, and sprinkled His own blood on the heavenly altar there as a forgiveness of sin for the whole world. Now see, I'm telling you that so that you understand that there is no longer a problem with sin. Jesus has already paid the price for your sin. Now what you have to do is accept Him as your Savior, as that sacrifice, and make Him Lord of your life. It's not the sin that's keeping you out of heaven now. Do you know that? It's your refusal to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. You can't get to heaven any other way. The Bible says that there's not another name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So the only thing keeping you out of heaven is believing that He did that for you, that He was placed in the tomb, rose, died on a cross, placed in a tomb, and on the third day He rose again, and then confessing Him with your mouth, making Him Lord of your life. You just say, Lord, I accept You as my Savior today. I believe You died for my sins, and I thank You, Lord, that I'm going to serve You. Man, isn't that an easy prayer to pray? It is until you're the one who has to pray it. Right? Come on now. I can remember sitting there and on the inside, I was wanting to be saved so bad, and I was wanting to go forward so bad. But there was something else, another force working. How many knows your flesh? And the enemy works to try to get you not to come. You know, I've watched people grip the backs of the seat. I've watched them want to go and not come. But you see, that's the flesh. That's the enemy trying to keep you from coming. Because once you make that step, I don't remember once I stepped out until the next thing I know, I was up at the altar giving my life to Jesus. Why? Because the Spirit took over. The Spirit came in and He moved. Now, it may be a little different for you because we all are different people. But it happens in the same manner. When you decide to surrender to God, the Holy Spirit will help you. And then when you make Jesus Lord of your life, He comes in to live on the inside of you. And now He's living in you. He's leading, guiding, and directing you. So Jesus says, this is what you need to do. You need to get born again. See, if you read on down in John, let's just read it on down verse 16 if you want to jump back over to where we was at there in John. Look at verse 16 here. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Know that. God loved you so much that He let Jesus die in your place. He loved me so much that He let Jesus die in my place. Let's read on just a little bit. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He sent His Son here not to condemn us, but to send us the Savior, the one that would pay the price for us, to make a way for us to go to heaven. Mankind was lost. We are separated from God. We were in a state of spiritual death. We could not go to God because of the sin that was in the earth that man had brought in through his disobedience. But through the blood of Jesus, God made a way. Now, if you study out the Old Testament, you'll find out God made a way for man to be able to approach Him through animal sacrifice. Once a year, they'd have to kill an animal and bring it in for the sacrifice of sin. But when Jesus came on the scene, God said, that's not working. It's men can't keep this covenant. It's a ongoing thing. He said, I'm going to take care of it once and for all. It was God's plan from the very foundation of the world that Jesus would come and be the final sacrifice. He won't ever have to die again. Nobody will ever have to die again for the sins of mankind. Jesus did it. Why? Because God loved His creation so much, He was willing to sacrifice His Son to save us all. Come on, think about that one. That's how much God loves you. And He loves me. And sometimes I look at us all and I think, man, we don't even realize how much He loved us. Could you give up your child for somebody else? Could you give up your child for somebody that doesn't love you? Could you give up your child for somebody that curses you and uses your name in vain? And could you do that? No, you probably couldn't. But thank God, He is love. And He loved us so much that He sent His Son here not to condemn us, but to save us. And it says, here's the condemnation here. That let's back up to verse 18. He says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Here's what he says. If you're not going to heaven, it's because you're choosing not to go to heaven. That's what he's saying. Oh, but now, you know, Pastor Mike, I don't know. I understand that the Bible says if anybody comes to Jesus, God will draw him. But see, you wouldn't even be in this place today if you weren't interested in Jesus. That's why we all go to church, because we know that there is a God. And we know that His Son, Jesus Christ, is the one that gave His life for us all. Now, see, our flesh is what holds us back. That's why we ended up condemned, is because our flesh. Oh, and I've heard people say this. Well, I know one thing. You'll never have any fun anymore. Listen, you can have the best time of your life living as a Christian. I'm enjoying my Christian life. I love living for Jesus. And you know what? I don't ever have to worry when I lay my head down on my pillow at night where I'm going to be should I not wake up on this earth. I know I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. And you can know that. The Bible says plainly that you can know. How can I know? You believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him with your mouth and you shall be saved. It's that easy. Well, I'm afraid though, you know, Pastor, I've got a bad, bad temper. I'm just afraid my temper will get the best of me and I'll lose my salvation. You're not going to lose your salvation over your temper. Now, you might mess up. You might have to repent, but you're not going to lose your salvation over getting angry, losing it, saying something. Come on. See, you've got to understand that God's grace is greater than that. He's able to keep you. That doesn't mean you won't mess up from time to time. We all do. Come on, we all do. See, because there's not just sins that you do stuff. There's times that we're not praying like we should. Come on, right? We're not studying like we should. Well, those are things that are not right too. Come on, sins of omission. And so, see, here's the thing. God realizes and knows, because Jesus was here on this earth as a human being. The Bible says He was tempted in all points, just like you and I, but He didn't sin. Jesus knows what the temptations are. He knows the lifestyle we have to live. Jesus knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be sad. He knows what it's like to be disappointed. He knows what it's like to suffer pain. Come on. He knows what it's like to be anxious. You say, what are you talking about? In the garden, the Bible says that when He was praying, His sweat became as great drops of blood. Now, it wasn't blood, but it was big drops of sweat off of Him. And as He prayed, He said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. What was He saying? I don't want to have to go through this, Father. I know what will happen. I know the agony that will be there when they drive the nails in my hands and my feet. I know the agony I'll be in as I'm hanging from that cross. As I'm paying the price. If there's any other way, Father, let it pass. But he said, but not my will, but your will be done. And as Jesus hung on that cross, in that agony and in that pain, he looked over at the very people that had put him up on that cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today, Jesus is still forgiving us. We still do things and we don't know what we're doing sometimes. And he forgives us when we do know what we're doing, when we truly ask him and repent from the heart. So Jesus came so that he could be our sacrifice for sin. So he could be the one that you and I could turn to make sure we get to go to heaven. Folks, I'm enjoying my life here on this earth. And God wants us to enjoy our life up on this earth. But this doesn't even scratch the surface. There's no way we can even compare as good as life could be here to how good it's going to be when we get to heaven. There's no way we can. No more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more crying. Think about that for just a minute. How great heaven is going to be. But you've got to make sure you get there. We got to make sure that we stay on the track. We stay with Jesus. And if you're not with Jesus, get with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what other religion comes at you, there's only one true Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're not on your way to heaven. You can be a good person. Thank God for good moral people. We're losing that in the earth today, it seems. But thank God for good people. But sometimes good people are the hardest people to get them to realize they need Jesus too. I've had people say, you know, well, I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't do anything bad. I just stay around the house, do this and do that, you know. And they are good people. But still, they're a good person that hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, and that's what it takes to get saved, is accepting Him. So thank God you're a good person. I'm glad you're a good person. Matter of fact, there's some folks that ain't accepted Jesus Christ as better people than folks that have. Truthfully, you know. But here's the thing. If they've accepted Jesus into their life, they're going to heaven. And that good person that's not doing anything, they're on their way to hell. And it's simply by the design of the plan of God, because mankind messed up in the garden. God made a way for them to make it right. And so for all of us, it was sin pronounced and death pronounced on all of us through Adam. And Jesus Christ then brought life to all of us so that we can receive life if we'll make Him Lord of our life. And so we have to decide, am I going to make Jesus Lord of my life, or am I going to keep living the lifestyle I'm living now? See, the Bible teaches us, you know, He says, God says this. He says, seek the straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, or life, and few there be that find it. Isn't that sad? That God has made a way, but there's so few that are seeking after that. They like what they see in the world, and they think the world can give them all this pleasure and all this fun. But the way of the world leads down that broad path to hell. You don't have to do a thing in this world to go to hell, but just keep doing what you're doing. If you haven't got Jesus in your life, then you just keep doing what you're doing. You're already on that road. You see, here's the thing. There's only one person that you can serve and get to heaven, and that's Jesus. Now, on this earth, there's two forces at work. There is the kingdom of God, and there's the world. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. Little g. He's not a big G. He got kicked out of heaven. Amen. He's a little g of this world. He's god of this world's systems right now on this earth. That's why you see so many things going so cross. I mean, you know, it's just ludicrous. People have lost their minds doing crazy stuff, you know. But in the kingdom of God, things are right. And there's right thinking, and there's right morality, and there's the Word of God is our guide and our standard. in the world there's no longer a standard. See, the world's wanted to take the commandments out of churches and out of schools and out of buildings and all that. They want to get rid of God. Well, you see, that's because Satan can't stand the thought of God, because he knows he got kicked out of heaven, and he also knows his future. Satan's future is the lake of fire. It was prepared for him and his angels. But you know, the sad part is this. If we decide we're going to stay in darkness, if we decide we're going to stay in the world, then that lake of fire also will be our future. Not prepared for us, but the Bible says hell is broadening its borders every day because good people decide not to choose Jesus as their Savior. Jesus wants you to go to heaven. Matter of fact, He tells those that will accept Him, He said, I'm preparing a place for you that where I am, you can be. I want to be in heaven with Jesus. What about you? But you see, that's a choice I made. Now, have I ever messed up since I became a child of God? I sure have. I've messed up a lot. Matter of fact, at one time I backslid and thought, you know, I'm going to do this, going to do that. And all I found out was that just heartache. The best thing you will ever do is serve Jesus and stay serving Jesus, because in times when you don't know what to do, He's right there. You've got somebody to talk to you and help you. If there's a situation comes along and maybe it's not you, maybe it's some of your family, maybe it's one of your kids, I can lift up my hands and say, Jesus, you know right where they're at. I'm your child. I thank you, Father God, for being right there, protecting them, taking care of them. And I have that peace knowing He is. If I get in trouble, I can call upon the name of the Lord and He hears me. Why? Because I have a relationship with Him. If you're not saved, if you don't have that relationship with you, thank God He's so merciful that He does answer prayers. But here's the thing. He's not obligated, if you're not a child of God, if you've never made Him Lord of your life, He is not obligated to answer your prayer. The only prayer He's obligated Himself to answer is, Lord, forgive me. I want You Lord of my life. That's the one He said, whosoever will call upon Me, I'll do it. Everything else, there's no guarantees. But for the child of God, there is. Because the Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, His Word is His will. If we ask anything according to His Word or His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. What am I saying? I'm saying I know when I pray, God hears me. And I know when I'm praying according to the Word of God, that He answers me. That's why He answers that prayer. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why. Because it's in the Word. He's obligated to answer that prayer. See, you have to realize that Jesus said in John 10:10, He says it's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Who's the thief? The devil. Satan. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Some of the other translations says, have it fully, to the full, till it overflows. One says, have and enjoy life. See, God's will for you is to live an abundant, joyful life upon this earth, following Him. And then after we leave this life, have an eternal life in heaven. Two forces at work. The kingdom of God, that means I get to end up in heaven. Or the world. That means when I leave here, I'll be for an eternity in torment. The Bible calls it hell. It's a place that's outer darkness. It says that there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It says it's a place where the worm, W-O-R-M, never dies. And the fire is never quenched. we have one example. We have the rich man that died and went to hell. And when he was able, and it was Old Testament, and so it's a little different, but it's still the same principle. When he was able to look over at Abraham's bosom at that time, he said, "Father, I'm tormented in this flame. Would you send Lazarus just if he'd just tip his finger in water and cool my parched tongue?" The fire's never quenched. An eternity. You say, "Are you trying to scare us?" Yes. You ought to be afraid of hell. You don't want to go to hell. You want to make sure that you're going to heaven. And the way you make sure you're going to heaven is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This morning on Resurrection Day, this is the day that Jesus rose to new life. And when He rose, we rose. Hallelujah. This morning, you can have new life right here, today. You can start over no matter what your past is or has been. It does not matter. Jesus died for you. God loves you. And He's telling you, come. The book of Revelation says, "Whosoever will, let them come and take of the waters of life freely." Doesn't cost you anything to get saved. Jesus has already paid the price. All you have to do is make up your mind. I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. Look around, church. Look at the world. See the things that are taking place and how things are starting now to add up. And we could recognize we need Jesus now more than we ever have in our lives. Amen. Won't you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You, Lord God, that Jesus